I just want to read one scripture, and it's on page 1397. It's in the book of the second book of Corinthians, chapter 8, page 1397. And I'd like to read from verse 9. This is what it says here. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for yourselves he, being rich, became poor in order that ye, by his poverty, might be enriched. I want to speak tonight about someone who was rich, but who became poor, that you might be saved. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we're going to be speaking about this evening. As you sit in your seat, I want to occupy you from God's word, God's living word, the Bible, about Jesus, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was rich but became poor to save you from your sins. This is the gospel message. It's a gospel invitation. It's a wonderful story. And it's about a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, a saviour who came into this world to save you from your sins. How wonderful it is that we have this opportunity to share with you this story. The story of how God has sent a saviour to redeem you, to rescue you, to give you hope. There are many rich people today in the world, but not many rich people would become poor to save you. I want to speak to you about Jesus, God's Son, who came into this world. He became poor that you might be saved. It's that personal. What a wonderful message the gospel is. God's love shines out in the gospel because the Bible tells us that in our sins we find ourselves short of God's glory. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one that does right on the earth, it says. Not so much as one. But the Bible tells us that God has provided a saviour who can make us right with God, can redeem us, can secure us for heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? If I went out onto the streets of Basildon this evening and I said, do you want to go to heaven? I don't think many people would say no. I think they would say, I'd like to go to heaven. But your next question might be, how do I get to heaven? Well, God's word answers that question, doesn't it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You can have forgiveness and peace and joy in your heart tonight if you come to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was rich, became poor, that through his poverty we might be enriched. So through the Lord Jesus becoming poor, we can become rich. And that doesn't mean by having loads of money, having loads of fast cars, having big houses. But, you know, you can speak to someone who's got all that, but they're poor spiritually because they have no peace and joy in their heart. Through the Lord Jesus' poverty, we can become rich. Rich because we have eternal life. It says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The gift of God. God desires for you to receive a gift in the gospel. And this gift is eternal life. And you can receive it simply by coming to the Lord Jesus. And you can go to heaven. How? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born into this world as a baby, who grew up as a boy. At the age of 12, he was speaking about the gospel in the temple. He was speaking to the religious leaders of the day, and some of them might have been quite old. But yet, they looked at him and they thought, this is only a 12-year-old. And they were absolutely amazed by what he was saying. Because he brought understanding, he brought truth. He showed grace to those he was speaking to, even at the age of 12. And then we read at the age of 33, the Lord Jesus began preaching and began speaking about the way to heaven. And John the Baptist, his cousin, pointed out to the Lord Jesus one day when Jesus was approaching him in the Jordan River, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's Jesus. What has Jesus done that we might be saved, that we might go to heaven? Well, the scriptures tell us that he laid down his life for you and for me. We see many wonderful things Jesus has done, and it's all true, and it's all in this book. It's all true. We see how he fed those who were hungry, those who were blind, those who were possessed by demons. He healed all of them. He raised the dead. And wonderful things Jesus did, and it's all in this book. And you can read about it, and it's a wonderful thing to read about the things that Jesus did. But the scripture says he was the marked out Son of God in power. That's what it means when we read all those stories. He was marked out Son of God in power. He could do all those things because he had the power to do it. He had the power to calm the raging seas. He had power over creation. But you know, all those things, although they are wonderful, they're absolutely amazing, aren't they? The most wonderful thing that we're speaking about tonight, the reason why you've come to hear the gospel, is because we have a message of hope. And the hope we have in Jesus is the fact that, yes, although he did heal the sick, yes, he did calm the raging seas, yes, he did raise the dead, the wonderful thing that Jesus did that can bring hope to your heart, that can save you from your condition of sin, is the fact that Jesus laid down his life on the cross. He shed his precious blood. And by the laying down of his life, we can be forgiven. We can have peace with God. The scriptures say the just one, that's Jesus, died for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And that's why the gospel is going out, because we're presenting to you a saviour, the just one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for the unjust. That's me and that's you. That he might bring us to God. And that's how you get to heaven. That's how you have peace with God. That's how you have that joy in your heart. You know that although the world, how it's getting crazier, isn't it, by the day, and more confusing by the hour, or by the minute, you could say, because it's a real crazy place out there, isn't it? Things are changing from day to day, from minute to minute. Opinions that you thought a minute ago are not acceptable 4 minutes later. Quite literally. There's always things changing. But the gospel doesn't change. And the saviour who God is presenting in this book hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And there is only one answer to where we find ourselves before God as sinners. Because we've fallen short of the glory of God, because we've sinned, we can't enter God's presence because he's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He can't just sweep sin under the carpet, pretend it didn't exist. The only way it can happen, that we can have this peace and joy in our hearts, is by coming to Jesus and repenting of our sin and putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life on the cross to shed his precious blood that you might be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ, it says, cleanses us from all sin, past, present, future, all washed away because the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Saviour, died for me. And the scriptures also tell us, he who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That basically means that when we come to Jesus and we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we've repented of our sin. When God looks on your heart, if you've been genuinely saved and you've cried out to God in repentance and faith, when God looks on you, if you've accepted Jesus as your personal saviour, your sins are washed away. Your name's written in the book of life. The scripture says there's a book in heaven And it's got the names of every believer in the heavens. God's got a record of it. And that day, when judgment is coming, that book will be fetched. They open it up and they go through the list, a bit like a register at school, when your name's called out at school. And when they say, Ashley White, it'll be in that book because I know that I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal saviour. He saved me. And because he saved me, I know he can save you. The scriptures tell us, the Bible tells us that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, I can have that assurance in my heart. I can be bold about it. I can stand behind this desk and speak to you about my Saviour with confidence. Because I know that my sins have been forgiven. Because I know that the work that Jesus has done for me has saved me completely. And he's washed me from my sin through his precious blood. And you can receive that same confidence and boldness. You can have that same assurance in your heart tonight if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. You know, when I was younger, I wasn't a very confident person. You would normally find me right at the back in the classroom. I wouldn't want to answer any questions. If the teacher asked, you know, sometimes they open the classroom to, you know, questions and you say, what do you think of this? And I was the last person to even raise my hand and try and answer anything. I was quite shy. And that's normally when the teacher picks on you, isn't it? When you don't put your hand up. They say, oh, well, let's not go with someone who's got their hand up. But, you know, my point is that the reason why believers have a message to proclaim is because of what Jesus has done. We can be bold about it. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And that is why the gospel's been preached tonight, because we've got the power of God unto salvation. And it's not found in the preacher, it's not found in anyone but Jesus. There's no other name under the heavens by which we must be saved. It's only Jesus. Only Jesus. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. Just because you come here every week doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you've got a Bible in your house doesn't mean you're saved. You know, the religious leaders in the times when Jesus walked on this earth, they had the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. They had the Old Testament. And the Lord Jesus said to them, you think that in them that you will find eternal life, but you will not come to me. You see, the gospel goes out that you might come to Jesus. You might have a Bible, but you need to come to the person. You need to come to the author of this book, God himself. And you can come to God himself simply by coming to Jesus. Because God has sent forth his Son to save you from your sins. And he, being rich, became poor, that we, through his poverty, we might be enriched. You know, you look at Jesus and you see he was a man who, you could say, he was poor. Because we look around in his life, his circumstances. He came into this world. He was born in a manger. He was born in a stable. Not exactly a place of, you know, where someone rich would dwell. Someone rich would probably have a nice comfy bed. But it wasn't like that for Jesus. He was in a manger. And a manger is like a box where all the kind of animals they eat out all their hay from. That's where Jesus was. He was in quite a lowly place. He became poor. That's how much he loved you. And that's why the gospel is being preached. Because there's a message of love to announce to you tonight. God so loved the world. God so loved you that he sent his Son. And Jesus loves you. And Jesus loved you so much that he was prepared to go into that manger, to be born into this world. He was prepared to face the suffering, the pain, the rejection of his own people when he came here. He came to his own, the scripture says, and his own received him not. He was prepared to go through all that. Why? Because he loved you. And because he loved you so much that he was prepared to go to Calvary's cross. And the scriptures tell us that his face was fixed to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because at Jerusalem, Jesus laid down his life for you and for me. He shed his precious blood for our sins. Many of us, we've done things wrong. They can be forgiven tonight by coming to Jesus. Wouldn't you want the weight lifted, the burdens rolled away, your sins forgiven? You know, sometimes when you've done something wrong, it stays in your mind. And you try and forget about it, and then something reminds you of it, and it comes back again. But you know, although you might be reminded of sins, and sometimes I have reminded things I've done wrong, but the difference is, once you've trusted in Jesus, is you know that although you've done things wrong, Jesus has washed our sins away. And we have peace with God, and he has forgiven us of our sins. And you can have that same joy by coming to Jesus, putting your faith and trust in Jesus, and calling out to him. Where you are in your seat, you can just say it quietly in your heart to Jesus, and call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. There's no ifs, there's no doubts about it. There's no maybes. If you call upon the name of the Lord, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Jesus is able to save you. And we have this hope because, yes, although we're speaking about a saviour who has died, it's a man, an actual man who died. They came to Jesus, though. They found that he was already dead. And so they pierced his side and out flowed blood and water. And that, you know, that's the message of the gospel, is the fact that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are able to be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But the reason why we're here tonight, and I'm speaking to you about the Lord Jesus, is because although he died, he went into the tomb, the stone was rolled in front. Although he died, the Bible tells us a wonderful thing. It's not the end. Jesus rose again. The stone was rolled away. His disciples came, the women who followed Jesus, they came to put ointment on his body. That's what they would have done in those days. And early that resurrection morning, on that Sunday morning, they went to put ointment on the Lord Jesus' body. And when they came to that tomb, they realised the stone was rolled away. And they thought someone had stolen the body away. But no, it was to let us in. To let us into that tomb. Why? Because we could see that the one who has died rose again. The Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for you and for me, who went into the grave, but rose again victoriously. And that's the hope we have as a Christian. That's why we're standing here. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That is why we're here speaking about the gospel tonight. It's because we have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have confidence knowing that no matter what happens in the world, our sins are forgiven and we have peace with God. And we know that, you know, although there's challenges and tests that come down the road, through it all, we have a faithful God. We have a faithful Saviour who will never leave us or forsake us. Why? Because he is risen. He's gone to heaven. And the scriptures tell us that we have hope as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have hope knowing that there's coming a day when the Saviour who died for you, the Saviour who shed his precious blood for you, he's not going to leave you alone. While you're here on your earthly pathway, waiting for the Saviour to come back, because he is coming again, and the Lord Jesus Christ said himself, I am coming again, and I'm coming quickly. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we know he's coming. And the scriptures tell us that this same Jesus, it says, who was crucified, this same Jesus will come again. He said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming again to you. He says, I've gone to prepare you a place, that where I am, you also may be. That is the hope. Do you want to go to heaven? I'm sure you do. Where he is, that's in heaven, we can be as well. If you come to Jesus and you put your faith in him and you trust in him as your Saviour, and he will forgive you of your sin. He will give you peace in your heart. May you call on him tonight. May you accept this invitation, because there's coming a day when this invitation will not continue. We don't know the day that will be. It could be next Sunday. It could be the Sunday after. You could come to this hall and the doors will be closed. There'd be no one here. And why is that? Because Jesus has come back to take everyone who has trusted in him to be with him where he is. Will you be one of those people? The message of the gospel goes out with urgency that you might call upon the name of the Lord and you might be saved today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the well-accepted time. Not tomorrow. That's often things we often like to do that. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. We're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. We do this even with things in our lives. You kind of think, oh, I'll do it another day. I'll do it tomorrow. I've got plenty of time. You know, the devil will always say that to you. He will say, there's plenty of time. You're young. You've got all your life ahead of you. There's plenty of time. You've got your career to think about. There's plenty of time. You've got holidays to go on. There's plenty of time. But the gospel says we cannot boast of tomorrow because we do not know what a day will bring forth. There's things that happen today that you probably didn't even think would happen. There's things that will happen tomorrow that you might not think will happen. We don't know what a day brings forth. And so the gospel goes out with urgency that you might call upon the Lord Jesus from your seat tonight and be saved. And you can be, simply by trusting in him. Call on him tonight. It's very simple. You know, there's a lot of stories kind of doing the rounds again ever since that tragic story of the men who died on that Titan submarine as they dived to go and see the Titanic. But this story came to mind. It's a survivor. It was a survivor of the Titanic, and he was saved while he was in the icy waters of the Atlantic. He heard the gospel by a preacher, John Harper. He was a preacher, and he was called to America to pastor a church in America. And he boarded the ship to go to America. And during those days on board the Titanic, from day one, he shared the gospel with everyone that he came, all the passengers, whether they were first class, second class, third class, he preached the gospel to them. But then that dreadful night came when the Titanic, it hit the iceberg, went up on deck. He put his sister and his daughter into one of the lifeboats. He refused the life jacket himself, and he stood on deck as the Titanic was sinking, and he preached the gospel. And he used that wonderful verse in Acts 16. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. He loved the souls of men so much that he wanted to preach the gospel, and he preached it with boldness. And he refused the life jacket. He refused, you know, taking that life jacket because he had a care that souls would be saved. Saved for heaven. And you could be saved for heaven by trusting in Jesus. But that man, as the Titanic sunk, he went into the icy waters. He grabbed hold of a piece of wood and he floated around the waters. And there were loads of people in the waters screaming and shouting. And he went on this raft and he went past every single one. And he says, is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Are you saved? He came across one person and they said, no, I'm not saved. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then he floated on to some other people. He asked the same question. And then a little while later, he turned back. And he came back to that same person he first spoke to. Are you saved? And he said, yes, I'm saved. I've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's my saviour. And he saved me from my sins. And he was, the preacher, John Harper, he died. But this was one of the survivors. And this is what he said. I am a survivor of the Titanic. I was one of only six people out of 1,517 to be pulled out from the icy waters from that dreadful night. Like hundreds around, I found myself struggling in the cold, dark waters of the North Atlantic. The wail of the perishing was raging in my ears when they floated by me. A man who called to me said, "Is your soul saved?" I heard him call out to others as he and everyone around sank beneath the waters to eternity. There alone, the night with 2 miles of water underneath me, I cried to the Lord Jesus and he saved me. How wonderful. How wonderful. And you can be saved tonight just simply by trusting in Jesus. Man, woman, child, boy, girl, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. May you call on him tonight for his name's sake.
Amen.